This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hello and welcome to The Discourse, a short-form, one-on-one interview podcast with filmmakers, actors, and other film industry folks, brought to you by The Playlist and hosted by myself, Mike D'Angelo. Today, I am staying up late for the buzzy horror film that currently has a 100% score on Rotten Tomatoes. That's Late Night with the Devil. The film follows a fledgling late-night host played by David Dismalchin, who decides to invite some spooky guests onto his show to boost his ratings, unleashing evil in front of the whole entire world. The Colin and Cameron Cairns directed film also stars Ian Bliss, Laura Gordon, and Ingrid Torelli, and much more. Joining me to discuss the movie is producer and star of the film, David Dismalchin. You likely know David from his role as the Polka Dot Man in James Gunn's Suicide Squad or the Joker's Thug in The Dark Knight, which was his first movie, surprisingly. He's also in Dune, Oppenheimer, Prisoners. He was recently in Last Voyage of the Demeter and The Boogeyman. He's one of those character actors that always pops up in things and really stands out. This one is his first, well, not his first leading role, but one of his first leading roles, where he gets to, you know, play against type. A lot of directors cast him as the creepy or disturbed characters, but Late Night with the Devil makes him a jolly but grieving late night host in the 70s, Jack Delroy, and it really, really works well. He's really able to shine in this. The movie itself is so unique and awesome. Horror fans have been eating this one up at festivals for the past year, and now everyone finally gets to see what all the fuss is about. It's not reliant on jump scares or cheap gags. It really leans into character and mood and nostalgia of the 70s. And it's really the horror movie to beat so far for best horror film in 2024. If you are a horror buff like me, this one is already probably on your radar, but you should definitely check it out when it hits theaters on Friday, March 22nd. My conversation with David Dismalchin was so great. I really feel like I could have talked to him about nerd stuff for hours. Sadly, I only had about 20 minutes with him. Regardless, we cover a lot of good ground. Obviously, we talk Late Night with the Devil. We talk his first film experience with The Dark Knight. Not a bad film to start out with. Working with Heath Ledger, that was awesome. We talk Oppenheimer. We talk his production company, Good Fiend. For some context at the beginning of the interview, though, we're discussing his comic book that I hold up, Count Crowley, it's called. It's put out on Dark Horse, and I showed him that I was reading it. I absolutely love that book. Definitely check that out if you're a fan of old monster movies or, I mean, even Stranger Things. I think it might really play to that crowd. It seems like it might really do well as a TV series, so I hope that happens. Netflix or, you know, Max, whoever, if you're listening, check out Count Crowley. It's great. Either way, David is just the best. I can't wait to talk to him again. Before I shoot you over to the interview, I've got to tell you that The Discourse is a part of the Playlist Podcast Network. which includes the Playlist Podcast, Bingeworthy, Deep Focus, and more. We can be heard on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you find your favorite shows. Be sure to subscribe or drop us a comment or a rating, as we do very much appreciate it. Or just head on over to theplaylist.net for film and TV news, reviews, interviews, and more. Okay, here is my chat with the outstanding David Dismulchin. David,
Mike,
was just doing some reading, my friend, and finishing this book up. God damn it, I need a show. Like, you need to make this into a series, man.
Mike, let's do this. I'm serious. I just need the support. I just need people saying exactly what you just said, because I've always believed and I felt that there is a live action version of this. You put the right actor into Jerry Bartman's fragmented, falling apart, stumbling, drunk persona, slap that makeup on her and have her discover the secret that's lying underneath all of our noses. We could have a really cool story. And by the way, if you do get the chance to keep reading, we've got,
I've got it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a character that's going to come up down the way and you're going to go, oh, Dave totally freaking wrote this for himself. He totally wants to be in this shit. Yeah. But it means the world to me, because that is like my baby. That story, that world, that is my, you know, that's my baby. Yeah. And I'm so proud of it. And just like I am with the comparative could be in the world of movies, the little things that I've made, like Animals, All Creatures Here Below, and now Late Night with the Devil, these things that are very personal, that are small, that I, you know, it's like you just bootstrap it up and go make a thing with Count Crowley and working with Dark Horse. You know, it's just the dream, man. It's just, and there's no limitations in the world of comic writing, which is why I've always loved comics. I think I first got lost in comic shops in like 85, 86, back in Kansas City. I was a little kid and I just was so lost in the world. And I'll never forget the magic, the power of stumbling across, you know, my first detective comic, my first JLA. I was into real weird and obscure heroes and villains. I loved the West Coast Avengers so much. I had a big crush on Tigra. I thought Wonder Man was awesome. I loved Hank Pym early on, even though he was totally messed up and, you know.
Oh yeah, really messed up.
I loved early horror comics. I was reading everything that I could get my hands on. But now that I get to actually make comics and be in comic book movies, and the fact that my first movie was one of, if not the greatest comic book movie ever made.
Yes.
It's wild, because I just talked to Nolan last week. We were at a party during the Oscar weekend, and the man changed my life. The man changed cinema. I mean, he's changed all of our lives. But I was talking to him, my wife and I were at this party, and Chris and Emma were there, and I was getting to just, you know, as you do when you're around the person who changed your life, trying to properly find the words to thank them for giving you the greatest gifts you can ever ask for as an artist. And I said, it's just so wild when I consider the fact that in 2007, I'd never been on a film set before. And the first time I stepped into a film set was his movie. And he was a little surprised by that. He said he didn't realize that was the first time I'd ever been on a film set. And I was like, yeah. All of a sudden, here's this kid from Kansas who's been collecting comics his whole life. The kid who sobbed crying when Death in the Family Joker struck that crowbar against Robin's cranium. The guy who went and bought all the standees from Spencer Gifts when Tim Burton's Batman came out, and just been obsessed with these characters his whole life. All of a sudden, I'm standing in, you know, LaSalle Avenue in downtown Chicago next to the greatest iteration of the Joker we've ever seen.
Were you trying to go down a Joker rabbit hole with him and like geek out, or where was he in this?
It was really funny. When I first came on set, I honestly didn't even know what I was doing. I had auditioned for one of the bank robbers at the beginning of the film, and then here I was playing this very complicated, cool role.
Yeah.
But they were so secretive about everything. I hadn't really been told yet what I was doing. I guess Chris, whatever he saw me do in that first audition, he thought, oh, this guy could play this other character. So they cast me. It's a really pivotal moment, because this is the beginning of Harvey's turn, if you will. First thing we shot was during the parade sequence downtown in Chicago. And I meet Keith in hair and makeup, and he's playing really cool music, teaches, turned me on to some music that I still love to this day, actually. And I made a joke. I can't believe I was this ballsy, but I shook his hand because I was a big fan of, I just thought he's such a phenomenal actor. But I told him my truth, which I said, I love this character so much, and I've been collecting comics my whole life. And when I heard you got this role, I thought it was a terrible idea. And he
along
goes,
with many other
he
people.
He goes, you're telling me. He goes, me too. And I said, how's it going? And he said, I'm having the most amazing time. I'm having the time of my life. And he was, and seeing him in that character and seeing what he was manifesting. Mm. I walked away from that and I said, I've just been in the presence of greatness. I've just stood next to, and I've been in a scene with one of the greatest actors of all time.
Yeah. That performance is still the one everybody measures against for villains, you know,
because
that's the one.
It checks every box you can possibly imagine. And I'm so lucky that I got to be in Legion with him and be near him. I also feel really like it's kind of wild and amazing. He won Best Supporting Actor that year. And then here we are over a decade later, and I'm getting to do scenes with Robert Downey Jr. and Cillian Murphy, and getting to perform against some of the best actors of all time in cinema. And the fact that they both won the other night was...
Hell of a night for them, yeah.
Yeah, it was really neat. All of us Oppenhomies were together, Universal, at a little party in Hollywood, and we were all gathered eating and watching as our team kept taking home the wins. And I know I'm a small, tiny, tiny part of this massive, giant film, but I can't help but just be beam with like pride, gratitude over the fact that I get to be a part of it. And now all that the awards eyes and all of the Academy voters and all of the artists that made all the films that won all the awards have their eyes turned on a little film called Late Night with the Devil.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Yes. Well, the coincidence there.
I haven't heard of it yet, but hopefully with your help, we can get out the word, man.
Well, there's a lot of really good buzz for this, at least in the horror community, or the people who know about horror films and anticipate horror films. Like, this has got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got a lot of people talking about it. How does it feel to like see this start to kind of have that potential to take off?
It is nuts, dude. It is such a great feeling to be a part of something. And when you're doing it and when you're putting it together, you go, this is really special. This is really special. This feels like we're making something really special here. But then you get the confirmation, like being at South by Southwest last year and sitting in that theater and hearing all of the gasps and the collective cheers and the screams, the laughter, my heart just was so filled with joy and gratitude. And then now here we are a year later after being birthed at South by Southwest, and we're about to come out in all these theaters around the country, and people are so positively responding to it. I'm like, it's hard to describe. I've so much gratitude. I'm so thankful to every single person that like is so freaking geeked out over our trailers and our art, and people that are chomping at the bit to go see this thing. And I don't know, but it's a tiny thing, you know. We had no money. Yeah. This movie was made for it's peanuts, and now. I mean, we have an amazing team behind us. We're working with IFC and Shudder, but it's like you're competing against studios with the budgets to put their freaking image up over Times Square and, you know, blast out. What do they do these days? I guess air skywriters. They're just skywriting all over the place. And we're out sidewalk chalking, trying to figure out how we can get our word out. And we have this amazing team that it's the trailers are so good. The key art is so freaking good. We're doing really cool little weird events. We're going to do this activation today in New York that's like with Barbecue Films, where it's like a public access TV broadcast of a night,
awesome. The night
show. But like, it's you. It's honestly like, this is how we reach people and get them to go see it.
Well, I've seen it twice now and it is phenomenal. I love it. Thank you. So I am not being hyperbolic. I think it's a great movie. I'm a big horror fan, so it's right up my alley, and it's got this really, just all the little details are perfect. So
that's awesome.
Colin and Cameron obviously have to know their shit when it comes to this stuff. They're not widely known.
No.
So,
no. But they're amazing. They're about to be widely. I feel like this is going to be the break for them. When they first reached out to me to be in the film, they sent this incredible digital lookbook that looked like an old TV guide, but with the world of Night Owls all cooked into it. It was so cool.
That's awesome.
Script obviously was badass and I loved it. And the challenge of the role was amazing, but they also had read an article that I wrote for Fangoria magazine. And that was the reason that they said that they wanted to cast me, because I wrote an article after my mother passed away about the importance of horror hosts in our lives for those of us kids who needed that help going into and out of the scary spaces. And, we started talking, man, we got on a Zoom. They were in Australia. I'm in LA and talking about John Carpenter and, you know, the Toby Hooper and all the shit that, you know, we love. And, it was so awesome. And I'm so proud of being a part of their vision. The fact that they thought me, Dave DeSmalchin, the Joker's thug, the creepy guy that is in, you know, weird shit, is like, that's the guy who's going to be a Johnny Carson, you know, a Dick Cavett. It was so cool that they would think that I could handle that challenge, because that was way out of my weight class, way out of my weight class stepping into that. It took so much work, dude, but I love the work. I love the work of being an actor. I'm a technical actor. I'm not an emotional actor. I definitely believe in the importance of the precision of technicality. Heath Ledger is an interesting thing. There's all this mythology and lore that like, oh, he was lost in the Joker. He was storming around set as the Joker. That's all bullshit. He was such a phenomenal artist. He had the capacity to fine tune his tools in a way that he could be talking to you in a very calm, kind, loving, nice way about music, telling me about Animal Collective or something, and then go and be able to turn into this monster. That's the magic to me. The magic isn't showing up and being like, I am playing an asshole, so I'm going to be an asshole today. I don't want to work with that. That's not acting, by the way. That's like some other thing. The fact that they trusted me with this challenge, it's an honor that I will always be grateful for.
I think you're selling yourself short, because it's a phenomenal performance, but you've always like been that character actor that pops up in these movies we love and nails the little part that you're given, whether it's the Joker's thug or, you know, Piter or whatever it might be. Yeah. It's really great to see you take a movie, besides like, you know, All Creatures Here Below, which I did love as well, but it's so dark and like intense.
How incredible is Karen freaking Gillan? Am I right?
Amazing. And so innocent in that movie.
In Hollywood right now. And that mother flower can jump from being like in a Jumanji or a Guardians of the Galaxy, just crushing it. She's so phenomenal with these big, you know, intense characters, otherworldly characters, and then fully sink back in and ground herself in being, for me, Ruby was like Lenny from Of Mice and Men, kind of.
Yes. She had that energy. Yes, very much.
Beats like maybe Sissy Spacek or somebody, you know, one of those Badlands type of worlds.
Oh, and the baby's the mouse. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. You got it. You get
you're
it.
You're going there.
You know. Yeah, man. I'm really, thanks for watching that as well. Those are these little, you know, these small labors of love, these projects that we're so proud of as artists that we get an opportunity to make, and it means so much when people actually can discover them. And I'm hopeful that all the positive word of mouth that we're getting is going to help Late Night with the Devil get that attention it needs to survive and to make it out there. And we're very, very fortunate that voices that people listen to, like Kevin Smith, has been a big champion of the movie. He compared it to Rosemary's Baby and Network. And I was like, dude, that's the pull quote right there. And then you get Stephen King coming out swinging on Twitter, talking about the fact that he loved the film. I'm like, little monster kid Dave is just so happy right now.
Yeah. And I mean, you're kind of also this entity that's beloved by the horror genre community because you genuinely, you're one of us. It's like one of us. So when you're on these
big movies. Don't turn me into a chicken man.
When you're on these big movies, how often can you geek out with like some of these heroes that you're across from, you know?
All the time. I mean, that's one of our points of connection. You talk to somebody like Denis Villeneuve about the love that we have for certain films. You talk about talking to when I met Michael Douglas on the set of Ant-Man for the first time. And there's a lot of things that I can't relate to with a lot of people, but I can certainly relate to how much I love Carl Malden or other things that I knew like Michael Douglas is going to relate to me about. And when it comes to like thinking about the horror space and genre, talking about filmmakers like David Cronenberg and John Carpenter and all everything from William Castle and the Hammer films back to the Universal classics to Coffin Joe to you name it, you'd be amazed how many of these great filmmakers really know and care about all of that stuff. And I know Chris Nolan even recently said something about the fact that he'd be interested in making a horror film at one point. And I would kill to see Chris Nolan's
version. How cool would that be, man?
I think Denis Villeneuve makes horror films. I mean, I think Prisoners,
absolutely.
Sure, it might be described as a thriller, but that is a horror film to me.
Yeah, from many angles. And you're working with even more like recent horror masters like Brian Fuller and Mike Flanagan.
Oh yeah, and Fuller. So Flanagan, Fuller, myself, and the Boulay brothers, who are all some of my best friends. We get together with our partners and friends very regularly and play Werewolf, and we play Blood on the Clock Tower.
Interesting.
It is the evolution of Mafia and Werewolf to the next level. Blood on the Clock Tower is a game in which even if you get killed by the evil beings at night, you stay in the game and your ghost gets to continue to communicate with everybody. You just don't get to vote again. It's a great, great game. But yeah, I'm working with the best, man. I'm the luckiest nerd I know. I'm in Nerdvana.
Nerdvana. And it's only getting better, man. I've seen what you got coming. It looks amazing. And the production company you have, Good Fiend.
Really exciting. I want to take things like Count Crowley and Knights versus Samurai, which is my next comic that's coming soon, and some of the other projects I'm working on. I'm developing and getting ready to produce a film called Hide Your Eyes that I'm really proud of. I have another film that is in the works. Good Fiend to me is just that space where I can wrestle with really complicated ideas and questions that I have about being a human that are tricky through story. And the story lens that I want to use is genre, horror and science fiction. That's the space. I want you to watch a Good Fiend film project and feel like you're putting on those X-ray specs that you ordered out of the back of an old comic book. But instead of just being a ripoff, you actually see a layer of reality get peeled back. I think that would be so cool.
Yeah. They're going to pull me out of here. I could talk to you for hours.
Thank you for, let's do it again. We got a lot of cool stuff coming down the pipeline, but for now, honestly, man,
yeah,
the support that you've got and are giving to Late Night with the Devil, it means so much to me. Next week, we're in a good number of theaters. So it's like
March 22nd,
baby. I just can't tell you how much it means to me. I really appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Likewise. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Have fun tonight.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.